listening to Rising Above with Becky Davidson.
What you look for, you find. If you look for good, you'll find more good. If you look for good in God, you're going to find He's honest and He's trustworthy and He's good all the time.
Welcome to Rising Above with Becky Davidson, where we hear from special needs families who rise above difficult circumstances and discover that joy can be found in every story. Thank you for joining us. Here's your host, Becky Davidson.
Hey friends, thanks so much for joining us this week. We are starting a new two-part mini-series here on the podcast where we are talking about the impact that the stress and the trauma related to the special needs life can have on our families and how we need to allow people into our stories and into our lives to help us, especially in times of crisis. My friend Susan Lomax is back this week. And in this first part, we're talking about some of our personal story and we're sharing from our own experiences some of the stress and trauma that we have experienced and how that stress and trauma has impacted us emotionally, physically, spiritually, and relationally. I always love having Susan on because she is so honest and she just shares from her heart. And I know that you will enjoy hearing from her again. So here is my conversation with Susan Lomax. Hey, Susan.
Hey, Becky.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Okay, you're becoming quite the regular here on the podcast. And I'll tell you why, because you are just so raw and real and vulnerable. Share your heart, but then you bring it with the hope. And so I just am grateful for you and your willingness to come back and share more of your wisdom.
Thank you, Becky.
As you're laughing. You're laughing over here, you know. No, I think it's, I'm just glad you're here. And, you know, this conversation today, I was thinking about how many parents are going to be listening who are in the throes of the day-in, day-out care of their children, and they feel all these emotions, and they know all these things are going on, but they have no idea why they're feeling the way they do. And so I think this conversation is going to be important because, you know, Caleb is almost 26, John Alex is 26, almost 27. We've been doing this a while,
yes.
And we are just now, which we won't say our ages. Actually, I do say my age in another podcast, but you know, that's okay. But you know, we're at this place where we've learned a lot about ourselves and about how all these things that we have dealt with as special needs moms have impacted us emotionally, physically, spiritually, relationally, all these things. And so, you know, I just think it's important to have this conversation, to share kind of more about our story, but then where we can find some hope in all the trauma and all the stress that we encounter. And, you know, I've shared on the show before, back several years ago, I got to a place where I was just stuck. I was stuck with fear. I was stuck with panic. And I ended up going to a counselor, was diagnosed with complex PTSD. I know for you, you don't have that official, like from a therapist diagnosis, but
I have self-diagnosed myself with yes. that.
After all your research, which I think, yes, totally. Knowing, living life with you, I would say, yes, my sweet friend. Yes, that is true. But if you want to hear more about my journey into counseling and get to meet the counselor that I worked with who helped me so much, you can go back to episodes 177 and 178 where we have conversations about all those things.
Those podcasts were excellent. I listened to them. And for those listening, go listen to them because I think you'll get some wisdom in that.
Yeah. Well, it's just, I think it's helpful hearing other people's stories. And,
definitely.
You know, I think people don't realize outside of the disability space, the stress and the trauma that comes in this life. And, you know, a lot of people have, you know, you've heard of, you know, PTSD. We've heard of that when we think about war vets or other people. We hear about PTSD. And that would be like if there's a one event that has caused you trauma, like a car wreck. Or for people here locally, there was the tornado that so many people, it was so dramatic mm-hmm. for them. But then there's what's called complex PTSD, which my therapist will delve deeper into. If you want more information, go back and listen to that episode. But that's where there's a prolonged or repeated trauma. And that's what a lot of special needs parents experience. You know, like for my family, it's more on the medical side of things. And I know for Caleb,
it's more behavioral.
It's behavioral. And so honestly, for me, I was thinking about this as we were preparing, you know, on the medical side, I don't deal with that all the time. I only deal with that when he's sick, you know, when John Alex is sick, which, you know, we're just coming out of this big sickness. And so I don't deal with that on the daily, that fear. But for you, with Caleb's behavior, is it daily?
It pretty much is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I know you did a little research, Susan, just as we were preparing. What did you find most interesting when you were looking at the complex PTSD that special needs families encounter?
Well, I came across an article where the author is describing, you know, the complex PTSD and the effects of stress on physical health. And it was a documentary, and it contained a segment on mothers of children with special needs. And they actually said that, or made you think, that this group was perhaps the most stressed out segment of the population. And parents can be left anticipating what might trigger their child and are constantly accommodating and modifying the environment to help their child stay calm and regulated. And I was like, oh, yes.
Does that relate? Do you relate to that?
That is so me.
Yeah. And I know for so many families who deal with the behaviors, that is such a thing. And when Jay's sick, it's the same thing. Like, oh my goodness, are we going to get enough fluid in him? You know, all those triggers, all those things that come along with previous experiences that have caused that. Now, I know Caleb, like we said, he has autism. How does autism impact his behaviors? Like, what does that look like for you?
Well, when he was younger, and I probably alluded to this, but when he was younger, I was always emailing my mom with Caleb stories. You know, he ran away. He got in the toilet with his brand new shoes, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But that slacked off in middle school. But then when he hit high school, it started back up again. And he was a runner. So I always had that fear of, is he going to be here?
Goodness,
one time he snuck up into the attic. It didn't have the floorboards. And he fell through, but he didn't fall to the ground. He caught himself. This was after he hit high school. And so that's when it seemed to start again. Mm. He's had so many meltdowns in public, hitting glass and walls and me. It's a wonder that the police haven't been called, honestly. Mm. But what strikes me are the understanding people that come to my aid. So
love that.
That's what I see as a blessing in all of this. He had the ER event where he was manic. I've alluded to that in a different podcast where I had to miss months of work because of what I now know is complex PTSD because I couldn't do anything.
Right.
He's had more meltdowns than I care to recall.
Yeah.
So the meltdowns are what really trigger me.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's all, you've kind of had that. It's really been intense here lately. I mean, you've had years of maybe things, you had a season where things were a little bit calmer, but I think in now that he's out of high school, it's you kind of had an uptick in behaviors. And so for you, that unexpected, like, okay, are we going to go into the store and what's going to happen? What does that do to you physically? What does that do to you in your body when you're that anticipation of, oh my goodness, what is going to happen?
Well, there's this dread that comes over me and this fear that comes over me, and it hits my stomach and my lower back.
Mm-hmm.
And just, I just dread it and I'm afraid.
Yeah.
And it can be really, I can even try to talk us out of things. Like music
that sounds familiar to me.
This music fair that we just went to that was just the best thing we've ever done.
Yeah.
That y'all could have ever put on. That was the best thing. That morning I was like trying to talk us both out of it. And that's not okay.
Yeah. But it's so understandable. I mean, it's so understandable of just not wanting to put yourself in that position. But then we miss out on so much.
Yeah.
And can you imagine now looking back? Because it was a success, you know. Yeah.
That would have been horrible.
Yeah.
What about you, Becky, as it refers to John Alex?
Yeah, well, for me, like I said, it's when he gets sick. And so, a little background here. So when John Alex gets sick, now not just, sometimes he'll get a cold and we're over it quickly. But if he gets big sick, like an upper respiratory, something going on like that, we're down, like I go into that knowing, okay, we're probably going to be down 3 weeks to a month because it takes that long to get us back to his baseline. I mean, we are a month and a half out at this point, and we're still not quite back to our baseline because he'll stop eating and drinking. And so you have this fear of, am I going to get enough fluid in him? So I literally sit beside him the entire day with a medicine dropper, just dropping teaspoons of liquid in him to try to get him from being dehydrated. And it's so stressful.
Yeah.
Because you end up, we've had, you know, hospital stays because we've had to go, he's gotten too low and we've had to go get fluids in the hospital. This time we were preemptive and we went twice and got fluid, you know, just in the doctor's office, which was better. But when that happens, then his seizures get out of whack and I can't get his supplements in because he's not eating or drinking. And so then his seizure activity starts to increase. And so you're just like watching all the time. Are we going to have a big seizure? You know? And you know, as a single parent.
Yeah. I can't even imagine.
You know, I had friends who came in and helped, but during the night it's me. And at night when it's dark, and, you know, that's when it can get really, really hard, especially because when he is this sick, the first stage of his sickness, he will not sleep. He will not sleep. I mean, and so it's once we kind of get through midway through, then he crashes and sleeps all the time. But that first week and a half, especially, it is intense. And it's like 24/7 stress of just trying to keep him safe, trying to keep him hydrated, trying to make sure we're not going to have crazy seizures. And yeah, it's really stressful.
Wow. I mean,
but, you know, there is going to be hope in this episode. So keep coming because we're going to tell you, we're going to give you some hope because there's lots of great things that we've learned on this journey to help us. And one of the things you've done that's been helpful for you, Susan, is that you've written a blog. You have a blog where you have written, and I don't know that you write sporadically.
Yeah.
It's kind of like for me in journaling. I need to get it out. And so I do it through journaling and you have a blog. So tell us about the blog that you have. And what you write there.
Well, it's called Autism, Jesus, and Avocados, simply because I wanted a catchy name.
Do you like avocados?
I like avocados. And at one point, everything in my house was avocado, like oil, hair stuff, you know, you name it. But at that time, when I did make this, it was catchy and it was quirky. But I originally wanted a YouTube channel where I could just vlog us.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't gotten to that yet. A blog is fine for now. But what it helps me see is when I document this stuff, I can go back and look. Mm. And it helps also if I'm going to try to go to an agency or a doctor and explain what happened. Mm. I have it.
You have it written out.
And sure, it's for people to see, but it's okay.
It's more for you to document your story and your life.
But it is, very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And it does help me to get things out.
Yeah.
I was able to share the one. Well, we'll talk about it in a minute, but I was able to share one excerpt with my band, the Praise Band, so that they could kind of get a picture of
what your day in and day out looks like.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm hoping about this episode as well, is that, that it's something that that you can share with your family and your friends to give a glimpse. Now, granted, it's our story, but for our listeners to maybe show a picture of what it's like for our families. Well, you're talking about your blog. I read one of your blogs about a trip to Holiday World. Hmm. And I know Holiday World, it's an amusement park that's, how many hours away from us?
It's only 3.5 hours. So, and it's the cheapest one you could ever go to with the best deals and all that. But we've been going there since Caleb was tiny. I mean, he had to be 5 or 6. And,
You had an experience in 2022, that was not great. Tell us about that.
No, it was when he has had this, and once he hit high school and then it was time for him to go home, he came home in 2020, he aged out of the school system. And I don't know if that plus hormones plus whatever else, he developed a severe OCD along with his autism and he would get stuck. And when I mean get stuck, he would literally stop and just stand there, and you couldn't get him to move or do anything. So we were going to Holiday World, and it's always jam-packed with lots of no sleep. We're so excited. We can't sleep. We scream. We stim. And then when we get there, we go in May. The first time we go, we have a little routine.
You have a routine.
Everything is a routine.
Yeah.
So anyway, we get there in May, and it is tornado season, apparently. And so we're in the water park, and they do the siren thing.
Oh,
there's a tornado approaching, have to go seek shelter. So we go in this crowded, tiny little room with the rest of the water park in there.
But
he's fine. He loves it. He loves all the noise and all the kids and all the screaming.
Okay, I would not be loving that.
I was not loving it. And so he's fine. But then when we go out and they say, Splash and Safari is closing for the day, and the other park is closing in an hour, he doesn't understand that. He's still got X amount of rides to ride, and he has these expectations where if they're not met, then his whole world falls apart, and that's when he has his worst meltdowns.
And then when his world falls apart,
exactly.
Your world falls apart.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that day we left, and he was screaming. The next day we got stuck on they have a Kima Bay. It's like a play place in water. And it was at the top of one of the tallest slides, and he wouldn't come down. And there was another tornado warning. And I was like, are you kidding me? And in my blog, I mean, it's funny when you think back, we're like, please save yourself to the lifeguards because they won't leave because they can't. They're not allowed to leave. And I was like, save yourselves. He's not going anywhere. And anyway, the sweet, sweet lifeguard came up there, and
Susan.
Her name was Beth. And she talked him down only because she was pretty and she was kind and she talked about ice cream. Well, anyway, he had a meltdown when he realized again that his expectations mm-hmm. weren't being met. We had to have one of the guys drive us in a little Jeep out to the entrance of the park because he was hitting me. He was hitting anything he could find. The walls, we were in a locker room and he was hitting the walls and he was screaming. And I was like, can you please just get us out of here? Because mm-hmm. I can't drag him to the front like this.
Yeah.
It was so much easier when he was smaller mm-hmm. because I could pick him up and carry him. Mm-hmm. But now he's a grown man.
Right.
He's bigger than I am. And he's not going to go until he's ready to go.
Yeah.
So that whole thing was a nightmare.
So what did that do to
you? I'm shaking.
As you're saying it. Yeah. Yeah. So what did that do to you? I know, deep breath, friend. Deep breath. We need to do our breath prayer.
Deep breath. Yeah. Emotionally, I was wrecked. I was shaking like I am now, except worse.
Yeah.
I was completely dysregulated, and I had hit at this time, at this 2022, May, from the whole year, really, I'd hit rock bottom. Mm-hmm. I didn't know where God was. I didn't know what was going on. And I said, do something. God, mm-hmm. just do something. And I hate to say this, but even if it meant taking me out, just do it.
You were just so in so much pain.
Because I was done. Yeah. Done.
Yeah. Well, so have you been back to Holiday World since then?
And last year.
You went last year. So going into that, knowing that was coming, knowing you were going, what were you thinking? What were you feeling? Like, what was going on in your mind?
Dread.
Yeah.
We went back in August, I believe, of 2022, which was, not as bad because I didn't blog about it, or it would have, how I know.
It's bad, it's on the blog.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But last year was better, but it was still bad because he has his expectations, man. And if they don't get hit, we are in for it.
But what did it do to you? When you're thinking about we're going back into the park, you're dreading it. But did you physically feel anything, or were you able to press through?
I was better able to press through this time. I knew that at the end of the week, I wasn't going back to work because I had by then left my job. And so I knew that I could make it through and that it would be.
Did you be okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there was another experience that I was part of, just a small part of this, and it broke my heart. We at Rising Above, we put on events for families, and we were doing our Heroes Ball, which is the big family dinner and dance. And I saw that you were signed up to come, and I was so excited you were coming. I was like, towards the end of the night, I was like, where's Susan and Caleb? You weren't there. And then our mutual friend Becky walks in, and she filled me in on what was going on. So share what was going on at that point.
This was when his OCD was, that whole year was, crazy. And his OCD was still really bad at this point. I think this was August or September. I can't remember. But he has this routine. Everything's a routine, like I said. Mm-hmm. So he has to go through all these steps when he eats, mm-hmm. when he takes his bath in the evening. Everything has to go in order, and it wasn't going in order. Mm. And he just got stuck, and there was nothing we could do.
Yeah.
Nothing we could do to get him unstuck. And then finally, it was almost time for Heroes Ball to be over with, mm-hmm. and he got ready. And he doesn't understand any of that. You're right. You are going to miss it, right. if you do not come on.
Right.
Or maybe he does and he can't fight through it. I don't know, because mm-hmm. he can't tell me. But anyway, we got there. It was closing down. He had, that night, I just knew the police were going to come.
Well, you were in the parking lot.
Yes,
and he was having a major meltdown.
Bless his heart. And I couldn't get him in the car. I could not get him out. I barely could get him out of the building. And he was hitting those glass walls.
The glass walls.
And it was horrible.
The event was over. I mean, we were cleaning up.
There was nothing that could be done. And one of our hopes was that he would see that this is what happens mm-hmm. when you don't get ready and come on time. But he didn't. He didn't see that. So anyway, we screamed all the way to Sonic. We got him something, got him home. But that was a nightmare as well.
Yeah. And so, I mean, and those are just two of many.
Yeah.
I mean, many. You shared about the Walmart situation, you know, in some previous episodes. And, you know, it's that ongoing. And it's the unpredictability. You don't know. Like, are we going to go in? Everything's going to be fine. Or are we going to go in and who knows what's going to happen?
Yeah. I tend to disassociate.
Mm,
so,
yeah.
That's a bad thing because I'm like starting to.
Yeah. It's like, where am I?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Becky, I know you've had lots of stress related to your late husband's medical needs. Tell us how that impacted you.
Yeah. Well, that's where a lot of my medical trauma comes from. It was really not even so much John Alex. I mean, it's kind of transitioned into John Alex, but it was with Jeff. And when he first started getting sick in 2009, and we just, you know, that began, I mean, just years of him being in and out of the hospital. I don't even know how many surgeries. I have no idea how many surgeries he had, how many hospital stays we had. How many times would I get a phone call from a doctor saying, Mrs. Davidson, you need to get to the hospital. Your husband is just coded and we don't know if he's going to make it. I mean, that happened multiple times, not just once, many times that happened to me. And so it just that we would get up in the morning and I would not know. So many days, like, are we going to end up in the hospital today? Are we going to have to go to the ER? Or honestly, if he'd even be alive.
Wow.
When I'd wake up, I wouldn't know. And I mean, when you live in that pressure cooker, it is so incredibly difficult. When you look at really why it's kind of transitioned into John Alex was in May of 2017. It's kind of from Mother's Day to Memorial Day was unreal. On Mother's Day, John Alex had the flu. He was really sick. He was dehydrated because he won't eat or drink.
Right.
And during that time, I'm taking care of Jeff. I'm taking care of John Alex. Jeff is on dialysis at this point. I mean, so he's hooked up to a dialysis machine. I mean, it's just, you know, at night, just so many things going on. He'd lost his leg. He was in a wheelchair full time. I mean, it was full on care. Honestly, more care for Jeff than John Alex at this point. But John Alex was sick. So then you've got 24/7 care with John Alex, 24/7 care with Jeff.
Goodness.
And that Mother's Day of 2017, I ended up having to take him to the ER in Nashville. And Jeff's parents came and stayed with him. And they gave him like one bag of fluid and sent us home. They didn't check his levels. They didn't do, it was crazy. They sent us on home. As I'm driving home, he starts having these crazy seizures. I mean, it was things I'd never seen before. I was so scared.
Wow.
So as soon as we got back to Cookeville, we had to call an ambulance. So the ambulance comes, we go to the Cookeville ER, and they send us back to Nashville. So I'm in Nashville with John Alex. Jeff is at home. His parents are helping take care of him. J.A. gets admitted. We're there until, for several days, Jeff had a doctor's appointment in Nashville during that time. And so at the same time Jay was about to get out of the hospital, Jeff's at his doctor's appointment in Nashville. And he calls me and he says, they're getting ready to send me over to the ER. And he said, I'm having surgery tomorrow. And I'm like, what? You're kidding. You know, you're kidding me. You're having, you know, like, I cannot believe this is happening. So I had to leave. Like, I've got the two most important people in my life.
Yeah.
Jeff's at the hospital. His parents, thank God, were able to help with Jeff. So I'm bringing John Alex back to Cookeville. And so Jeff was scheduled to have surgery the next day, which was our wedding anniversary.
Wow.
And so Jeff goes into surgery. This memory just came to me. That morning, I get a call, and I didn't recognize the number. He was going to have surgery that day. I didn't recognize the number, but I answered, and it was Jeff. And he'd asked to borrow the nurse's phone to call me to just say, hey, I just wanted to talk to you. And he said, I wanted you to know when I come out, I'm going to be in the ICU, and I won't be able to talk to you. And he'd never done that before, ever. Had he done that? That was our last conversation.
Oh my gosh.
He'd never done that. And so he goes into surgery. I'm at home with John Alex, who's very sick. I, at that point, had the flu myself.
Wow.
I was sick. And so I get a phone call, and it's the surgeon. And he's like, Ms. Davidson, we've just started surgery. Jeff's heart has stopped. We're trying to get him back, but he's closer to death than life, and I'm not sure that we're going to be able to get him back. And so I'm sitting here in Cookeville.
Wow.
And trying to take care of John Alex. He's there. So we call in people. There are people that come to our house. Everybody's praying. He did survive the surgery, and he was with us a few more days. And so my sister from Maine came in on that Sunday. My sisters took John Alex back. Oh, there's so much more to this story I'm leaving out, but it's okay. I'm going to fast forward because there's so many pieces to it. But ultimately, we get to, there was a Monday, and my sisters are with John Alex in Cookeville. I got to be in Nashville with Jeff. I'd just gotten to the hospital to be with Jeff for that day.
Mm-hmm.
And my sisters call, and they're like, Becky, I'm so sorry, but Jay's having a massive seizure, and we have just had to call an ambulance, and they're coming to take us to the hospital. So I'm now in Nashville with Jeff, and John Alex is taken to the ER in Cookeville. So I, thank God, a relative had walked in the door at the hospital with Jeff, and I said, I've got to go. I've got to go check on John Alex. And so Jeff's parents came back to the hospital. I mad dash it to Cookeville. Jay's having seizures like crazy. So they sent us back to Vanderbilt that Monday. So I'm in Vanderbilt with John Alex. Jeff is across town in Nashville at Centennial.
Mm.
And the next day, the doctors come in to do rounds with John Alex. Jay's stable at this time. My sister from Maine flew in. She's with John Alex. And I go to the hospital. And when I got to the hospital, Jeff's mom's like, hey, they just took him off the ventilator, and he knew who I was, and, you know, I'm so glad. But by the time a few minutes later, there had been a shift, and we could tell, like, he'd had a stroke or something. And he started coding again. He's coding, and the doctor comes in, and they're like, I'm sorry, but there's really nothing else that we can do. And based on this latest results that we've gotten back, it's going to be pretty soon. So we call everybody in. And so we're surrounded with family and friends, people praying, people singing, and people telling him bye. And that afternoon around 3 o'clock, Jeff passed away. And so I had to leave Jeff and go over to Vanderbilt where John Alex was and tell him that his dad has just passed away, you know, and with what ways that he can understand. And so Jay's in the hospital. I mean, he's still in the hospital for several more days. He's in the hospital right up until time for the funeral.
And so I'm back and forth making funeral plans and trying to stay with John Alex and just, I'm numb. I mean, I can't even process what's going on. And so when we get back, John Alex is still so sick. He's so sick. And we're going through the process of the funeral and, you know, all those things. And so what that did to me, you know, there's so much trauma related to that John Alex being sick that now that carries like any time, like especially like he, especially that first year or two after 3 years after he would Jeff passed away, whenever John Alex gets sick, my mind would automatically go back to the worst of the worst of the worst, you know? And so trying to process through all that, that's why I needed to go to counseling. That's why I needed to go get help because it was just, it was too much. And there's a book that's called The Body Keeps the Score. And in that book, he's a psychologist, I don't know, but he talks about how like you don't even realize, your body remembers even if you don't remember. And so like this time of year, that was May, when this time of year rolls around, I may not even be thinking about that this is the time that all that heart happened, but my body remembers and I will feel this heaviness and I feel this sadness. Like the other day I was so sad and I'm like, and that's not my norm.
Yeah.
That's not my norm. And so that's where, you know, we have to be willing to go and get the help that we need when we get to those places. And so, it's hard to even process through when I retell that story. I'm like, how in the world did we survive that?
How did you survive it?
I mean, it was the grace of God. I mean, it was the grace of God, because there, like I said, there were so many other layers of what happened that there's just not time to share. But I could also share so many things where God showed up time and time and time again through his people, even through the most tragic thing that we experienced, you know? And so, you know, I think for me, like when John Alex gets sick, it's that dread. It's that like that dreading, oh my goodness, what's going to happen here? Are we going to end up in the hospital? Are we going to end up, you know, what is this going to look like? You know, and like even this last time, this last sickness went so much better because I've been doing the work and I'm doing so much better. But I would get up sometimes in the morning, like, and it would be like this dread of like, oh my goodness, what is this day going to look like? Yeah. Are we going to have to go get fluids? Are we going to, what is this going to look like? Or at night when he's not sleeping, like dreading going to bed because it's like, are we going to sleep? And do you encounter that? Do you experience that?
Yeah. Anytime where you have a plan to go anywhere or to do anything out of, besides staying at home, it's like that night, are we going to sleep? Like coming up, we're going to go to Holiday World again because we always do in May. And it's going to be the whole, are we going to sleep tonight? Mm-hmm. Is it going to be like that? Are we going to get stuck in on the top of the tallest slide and we're going to have a meltdown? Yeah. It's just a freeze.
Yeah.
A dread. A fear. All of this.
Well, Let's shift this conversation a little bit because we've really gone to some hard, like you and I are both sitting here and I'm out of tissues. We're both sitting here weeping. I think we need some hope here, Susan, because we've been sharing all the hard, but there is hope. There is hope. And there is, you know, I can say that God is here even in these darkest moments. He is there with us.
Yeah. Becky, how do you deal with this? What is there things that have helped you heal or be able to just make it through the day? Do you find it hard to do self-care? Everybody's talking about self-care.
No, I do soul care. I don't do self-care. Like self-care, to me, soul care is self-care. And that means that I'm doing things on the daily to build my soul up so that when I'm in these hard situations, like I've been with John Alex, that I don't get depleted. Because what happened, honestly, this time, like I journaled, I like to journal and I journaled, I was journaling about 2.5 weeks into this sickness. And I was like, this one's going so much better. Like I am so much more positive. I am not fearful. I am, you know, all the things. It was like, I'm staying focused. Jay's doing great. I'm not going to worry. Everything's great. And then about 2.5, 3 weeks in,
I'm exhausted because I've only gotten a few hours of sleep during this whole time. Yeah. I haven't had time to, like, you know, have my restoration time, and I got depleted. And that's when I started to tank. But those first few weeks, I was like, okay, we're doing great here. But I think for me, I needed to go to counseling. And not everybody can do that, and I get that. But I needed to go do some of that trauma work mm-hmm. because of, I mean, you heard the story. Mm-hmm. I mean, that experience, because of that experience, I needed help to not go to that dark place.
Yeah.
Anytime John Alex would get sick. And I will say this time was so much better. It was so much better.
Good.
But I journal. Love to journal. Love to journal. Because I can get that out. I can put down what I'm feeling and turn it into prayers. And, you know, that I practice thought stopping. Like if my mind starts going to worst case scenario, to stop and go, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. What is the truth? What is the truth? And even if we have to go to the doctor, or even if we have to go get fluids, it's not the end of the world. Mm-hmm. You know, like not making things, that's what I do that. I build things up to where this is going to be the end of the world if we have to go get fluids. Well, it's not. You know,
yeah.
God's got a place, got a plan. Right before Jay got sick, I got the book Breath as Prayer. Mm-hmm. It is beautiful. And it's breath prayer. So like, it's like breathing in, the Lord is my shepherd. And then as you breathe out, you think to yourself, I have all that I need. Mm-hmm. And there are different breath prayers, like different scriptures, like, Lord, I know you're with me always. I'm never alone. Just different things to remind myself. So you breathe in and get that deep breath in, and then you exhale out the other. And that helped me so much. And just speaking the truth out loud. There was one morning I got up and I'm just like, oh, my mind is all over the place. And I just like, no. And I just start speaking. I'm like, I'm yelling out, no, God, you are here. I am not alone. You're going to get us through this. You will never leave us or abandon us. And just speaking it out.
Yeah.
I have apps that are just like, so like the 1 minute pause app. Oh my
yes.
goodness. I shared that with you years ago.
Yes.
Do you use it?
Yeah. Oh yes. when Becky saw us, Caleb and myself, with her trauma meltdown at Heroes Ball, she was like, get that app. And so I did. I went and got that app. And yes. And then she's been talking about the Lectio 365.
Yeah, Lectio 365.
So I delved into that. Mm-hmm. And now I'm in love with that.
Yeah.
I think that's amazing.
Well, the Lectio 365, that's kind of my daily go-to every day. So even when John Alex was so sick, I could play that. It's an audio, so
yes.
you can play it. And I would play that even when we were in the chaos, because I could still listen. I could still get it. Oh my goodness, that helped me so much. And then the Rising Above app, the Respite for Your Mind on Rising Above's app. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I was pulling that out, you know, during this sickness.
As special needs parents, we often feel like we are swirling in the chaos of our life. We can become anxious and troubled if we do not take the time to stop and be still. The caregiving life doesn't always allow for long periods of respite. But do you have 3 to 5 minutes? We created Respite for Your Mind to help families take a quick break from the challenges to focus on the truth in God's Word. So next time you feel overwhelmed, check it out on the Rising Above app found on the App Store or Google Play.
I was pulling that out, you know, during this sickness.
Yeah.
And then for me, stay off social media. I have to stay off social media when things are okay. I don't need to see what anybody else is world looks like. I need to be focused on what I'm doing right here. I don't need to see everybody else going off to the beach or going and doing all these other things. And I was thinking, I journaled actually this time. One of the things, you know, my husband had a saying that he closed his blogs out with, and he would write a blog, and he would write, love fiercely, run the race, finish strong. And that's on the back of his tombstone. I mean, like I've got it on my wall at my house. But I was looking at that and I said, you know what? I'm going to change it for me. And it's love fiercely. Yes, I need to not only love the people around me fiercely, but I need to allow God's love to come in fiercely mm-hmm. to me.
Yes.
In a big way, and allow him to receive that love. But instead of running the race, I've got to run my race. my race that God has set out for me. I'm going to run my race, and then I want to finish strong. And I journaled just a few days ago. It's like, okay, when you're in the sickness, what do you need to do? And so I said, I need to remind myself of the truth. I have to speak it. God is with us. He sees us. He will help us. He will send people to help me.
Yes.
You know, and then I pray. I've got to, like, praying for resilience and strength to survive through the long haul. Because when Jay gets sick, I know, you know, it's not going to be a couple of days, a couple of weeks. It's going to be a long haul. And so I've got to have that resilience from God to be able to press through and keep going and allow people in, speak it out. And like, okay, I need your help with this, because I thought, I need to create a Jay sickness playlist. Uh-huh. Like, you know you love music.
Oh, yeah.
And so I need a playlist. So I need to start a playlist so that when that's going on, I'm like, nope, we're just blare this through the house.
I got you.
You can help me with that. But then my biggie, and everybody knows my biggie is gratitude. Like, I would be, you know, we'd be in the throes of him throwing up or him, you know, whatever. And he'd be like, all right, God, I thank you. I thank you that we have clean clothes to change into. I thank you that I have hot water to get him cleaned up. I thank you that you are here right in the midst of this with us. And staying in that place of gratitude for me personally shifts it every time.
Yeah.
What about you, Susan?
The gratitude, the counting my blessings, mm-hmm. the looking, what you look for, you're going to find. Mm-hmm. And my favorite little song right now is Counting My Blessings. And it has a line that says, the more I look in the details, the more of your goodness I find.
Mm.
So,
yeah,
it's that stuck out to me when I was listening to it. And I was like, hey, that's like what you look for, you find. Mm-hmm. If you look for good, you'll find more good. Yeah. If you look for good in God, you're mm-hmm. going to find he's honest and he's trustworthy and he's mm-hmm. good yeah. all the time. I went to therapy, but I didn't do the work. Mm. And I
do you remember anything that she showed you that you can put into practice? Or did you hear it in the podcast? You know,
the thought stopping mm-hmm. that. But I've also since seen a friend who's a counselor, and she gave me some things to try.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is actually tensing up my body,
right? Yeah,
for so many seconds, mm-hmm. and then deep breathing. That mm-hmm. way, I have some control over my reaction, mm-hmm. and I'm not just reacting.
Yeah.
Also, don't react.
Mm-hmm. Because teach me that one, because I don't have that one down. Yeah,
it's just like,
yeah.
I'm like, okay, yeah. I'll try not to, yeah. but I think also biblical affirmations, mm-hmm. the Freedom in Christ book, you had given me that right when we met, and it has affirmations uh-huh. in it. And so she gave me a copy of that.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, wow, it's been, mm-hmm. I don't know how many years.
Yeah.
But that, and then my own quiet time with Jesus, and that is important.
Yeah.
And I have gotten lax on getting up mm-hmm. before Caleb gets up.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been better this week, and I intend to be better mm-hmm. because that's when I can really yeah. be with him
mm-hmm.
because it's just me and him.
Yeah.
And I can hear what he says, and just all those apps, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah.
those are spot on. The little devotional by John Eldridge, oh, Restoration
yeah,
Year.
Yeah, love it.
That is
love
fantastic.
It. Yep, love it.
And yes. the Bible, of course.
Right.
Sorry,
right.
Lord, but your word is a lot to my path.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and then praise music. I have several playlists that mm-hmm. I'd be happy
to share one with me.
I will be happy to share. And then a dear friend suggested that I might try getting my mind off myself and my issues and doing for others mm-hmm. because I'm only child, mm-hmm. okay? So yeah. I'm about me.
Right.
I'm sorry to say it, but I'm me. I'm about me. So when
and
I
would
about,
not say that when I look at you and all you do with Caleb. And no. I mean, I get
in
what
my
you're
heart,
saying.
I know. Feel like it.
Yeah.
But getting my mind off myself and onto somebody else, praying for other people, making crocheted items for other
people. You shared about that.
Like, that was such a blessing mm-hmm. to be able to bless the kids at the Bean
yeah.
with those little curlicues. Just things like that. Because it gives me
mm-hmm.
something else to think. And I ruminate really bad.
Yeah.
So the thought stopping.
Mm-hmm, it's huge.
And the mindfulness of what am I thinking about?
Yes.
Taking every thought yes. captive and yes. giving it to the Lord and saying, here, your truth says this. It's not saying what's in my head right now. But yeah.
Yeah. No, it's so, so true. And, you know, like I said, this last round of sickness, it felt different. There were so many, like it wasn't as hard on me, mm-hmm. you know, as it has been. I had these tools in place. It was like, okay, I got my tool chest right here. Okay, I need this one right now. I need this, and pull this out for now, or yeah. I need this, and I could go and pull. But it was when I went for 3 weeks without really having that restoration time in the morning, like what's just part of my routine. And for me, that's where that healing and that restoration, the restorative time happens. Then that's when I started to slip. And so I journaled out. It's like, okay, look, you have to make time for that. If you don't do, like, you can do that while whatever, do it. Just you, that is a priority one. You're going to have to find a way to make that happen when we're in the throes of sickness. And so I could see a shift with this latest round of trauma. Have you noticed in yourself, like since here recently, are you starting to see a shift?
Yes, because since I've talked to my friend, she's a psychologist and she met with me and she gave me those things to do and other things to do. Mm-hmm. And so I'm actually doing the work.
So you're doing them, yeah.
I'm trying to do the work. And mm-hmm. so that's awesome. But yeah, I see things now. My big deal is I'm angry and I'm mm-hmm. reactive. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're working on.
Yeah. But you're working on it.
Yes.
And
yes.
So when you see it, it's like I said, I journaled. I was like, I always learn things about how to help John Alex in a sickness. Every time he has a sickness, yeah. I learn, okay, well, we need to try this next time. Or if we go get fluids, we need to take this chair, you know, things like that'll help him. But I'm also learning things about myself every single time. And things of what God's trying to show me that still needs work, where my heart is still stopped up in areas where I still have cobwebs in my heart that he's gently wanting to clean out. And I want him to clean them out, you know? And so every time, even though I felt like I kind of like, oh, I didn't do as good towards the end. No, God was showing me areas where I still need to allow him to come in and help me and to clean up those places so next time, oh, please don't let there ever be another sickness. But if there is, you know, then, okay, we're going to have more skills. Same thing with when Caleb has a meltdown, you're going to be able to handle that. Mm-hmm. You personally, you may not be able to handle what he's doing, but you'll be able to handle you and your heart, and then it's going to flow out to him.
Yeah, because he'll sense my peace.
He'll sense your peace.
Because if mommy's dysregulated and he's mm-hmm. already dysregulated, yeah. you're just looking for a storm.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if I can stay calm mm-hmm. and healthy.
Right. It's going to help everybody.
Exactly.
Yes. I saw that with the sickness with John Alex. And so when you are in a crisis, when you have things going on, how are you about letting people in? Do you allow people into your story or do you like, nope, going to put a wall and barrier here?
I used to put a wall and barrier.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody signed up for this crazy. Anybody that's my friend, they didn't sign up for this. They just signed up for the happy days. But that's not true.
That's not true.
So one of my dear friends said, it's not always going to be this way.
Yeah.
And that she's one of the ones I would let in. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I have a little group that I meet with. And then I have you and my church, mm-hmm. my Becky. That takes Caleb when I can't do it
Becky,
anymore.
Your friend Becky Nett. Yep.
And I let people in.
So you're
in
letting
now.
People in. Yeah. Well, that's a hard thing for me sometimes to let people in. But this time, I let people in. And so on next week's episode, we're going to be kind of telling part two of this journey and about how, in this latest sickness, I allowed people in, and what a blessing that turned out to be. So be sure to tune in next week because you're going to get to kind of hear part two of this journey. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful how God always shows up. And a lot of times it's through his people. And so that's what we're going to be talking about in next week's show. So Susan, thank you so much for coming back and telling us more of your journey. And you know what? I can't wait for us to have a conversation in the next year and just see the difference as we are continuing. We, you know, you and I are both, we are moms on this journey. We don't have it all figured out. We're just willing to allow God to come in.
Exactly.
And inviting God in. That's another thing. Yes. I would say, like when I would start to feel that anxiety, like that dread of day, or that, and I could feel it in my gut, because that's where I feel it. I feel it in my gut.
Me too.
I would say, Father God, I need you to come into this space. I'm feeling anxious here, and I need you to come in here, and he will. Thank you, friend.
Thank you, Becky.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Rising Above with Becky Davidson, created and produced by Rising Above Ministries. To learn more about us and our resources for special needs families, visit risingaboveministries.org or download our free app. If you've enjoyed listening and want to hear more, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate, and review. You can always share it to encourage a friend. And remember, joy can be found in every story.